and happy Thanksgiving. I'm Scott Bernstein, and welcome to the Jambase Podcast. Jambase is a partner of Osiris Media, a network that's your place for music-related podcasts. This episode includes my interview with Afi of Bahamas. Afi and I spoke in a video call conducted just before the release of the latest Bahamas album, Sad Hunk. Stay tuned to hear my chat with Afi right after a few words about this episode's sponsors.
This episode is sponsored by Bellion Vodka. Bellion Vodka, created with NTX technology, is a new kind of spirit. Bellion Vodka may be a new company, but it has been 10 years and $40 million in the making. Where did all that money go? Developing NTX. The additive Bellion is distilled with, NTX, has been the subject of a half dozen academic studies and featured in three peer-reviewed journals. Bellion is heavy-bodied for a vodka, which enhances any drink's mouthfeel. Long story short, it's possibly better for you, and definitely not worse. Jambase brought together Bellion Vodka and singer-songwriter Zach Gill of ALO to create a special collaborative cocktail created by Bellion's craft cocktail mixologist, Rob Altieri. Zach showed us how to make Playground in Your Soul, a drink that shares its name with a song from his new, appropriate-titled solo album, Cocktail Yoga, which he also performs. Go to Jambase to check out Zach's video, and stay tuned for more cocktail and song videos from Jambase and Bellion. Bellion Vodka can be ordered online and shipped to your door within 7 days. And until the end of the year, you get $1 shipping on all orders of 2 bottles or more. Go to bellionvodka.com and order yours. Order now to get it for Thanksgiving, and it also makes a great holiday gift. This episode is also sponsored by Sinlon, who have an awesome contest to announce. Sinlon is offering our listeners an exclusive prize, a portable 5x7 roll of the best quality turf around, about the size of an area rug, that you can easily cut down to any size. Sinlon is made in the USA with bio-based ingredients, is environmentally friendly, and highly durable. You can make great use of this roll, even if you're a city or an apartment dweller. We've come up with a whole bunch of fun ideas, and some of those are, bring the outside indoors, have an area for your kids to play, or a spot for you to get the feel of lying in the grass as the weather turns colder and you're spending less time outside. Use it for a grassy yoga practice or workout inside, or use it as a meditation spot. Place it below your sofa to rest your feet in the grass while you couch tour or binge watch concerts in the Jambase live video archive. Use it as an easy spot to take out your dog on a balcony or patio if the weather is bad. You'll just have to make sure you can thoroughly rinse it every so often. You can even cut it into smaller patches and gift it to all your friends who could use a nice grassy spot to rest their feet indoors to reconnect to the summer. Sinlon will be giving away 3 of these 5x7 pre-cut rolls to our listeners. Visit sinlon.com/jambase to enter, and explore their site to buy one for yourself or as a gift. Sinlon can also customize and outfit your space, your home lawn, commercial space like a playground, or even a classroom if you're a teacher and your classes are starting to meet again. Again, visit sinlon.com/jambase to enter. The deadline to enter is December 9th. That's sinlawn.com/jambase.
Jambase recently launched the Jambase store, just in time for the holidays. The Jambase store features merch in 2 main styles, our classic logo, used by Jambase for many years, and a brand new Go See Live Music microphone design. Thanks to our pal Jake Alexander, who produced this episode, for creating both designs. While we originally aimed to launch the store earlier this year, the COVID-19 pandemic derailed our plans. Though the future remains uncertain, we hope 2021 will see a return of concerts and festivals in a way that keeps everyone involved safe. In the meantime, you can get your Jambase gear now and be ready when it's truly time to go see live music again. Some of the gear available for sale in the Jambase store include shirts, hoodies, hats, onesies, blankets, towels, mugs, and more. A portion of proceeds from each sale will be donated to our friends at Backline, whose mission is to connect music industry professionals and their families with a trusted network of mental health and wellness providers. Head to jambase.com/store to buy gear that tells everyone you look forward to getting to go see live music again, while also supporting the musicians and crew that make the music happen. The Jambase Store is the latest project we've launched this year, following a newly redesigned Jambase iOS app, our ongoing 25 Years of Phish Fall Tour retrospective series, the Jambase Live Video Archive, and Jambase Livestreams Calendar. Additionally, Jambase has been rolling out gift guides each week to help you find the perfect gift for the music lovers in your life. Now, I'm excited to get to share my interview with Afi of Bahamas. Sad Hunk is my favorite album of the year, and this is coming from someone who was fairly unfamiliar with Bahamas music coming into 2020. Afi and his family live in Nova Scotia, so they've had a different experience during the pandemic than many of us here in America. He explains how so in our interview. Afi then discusses his hilarious, witty, and engaging social media presence. We then talk about Sad Hunk, starting with the story behind its title. Then, Afi tells us about how the latest Bahamas album came together and the musicians who contributed to the LP. Other topics we hit upon were the genesis of the song Trick to Happy, the guitar playing on Sad Hunk, and what the future holds for Bahamas. Well, enough of the foreplay. Here's my chat with Afi of Bahamas. Hi, everybody. This is Scott Bernstein, and thanks for listening to the Jambase podcast. I'm on a Zoom call with Afi of Bahamas. How's it going, Afi?
Very good. Very good. Nice to be here.
Excellent. A new Bahamas album entitled Sad Hunk will be out on Brushfire Records by the time you hear this podcast. And Afi, before we talk about the album, how has life been treating you during this pandemic?
Whew, that's the big question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I know it's been harder on some more than others, but truthfully, for me and my family, it's probably shaping up to be the best year we've ever had. And you know, part of that is just not traveling. Frankly, I whenever I have a problem, I always think, oh, I'll work more, I'll make more money, I'll take on more projects, or I'll do this. It never would have dawned on me in a million years to do nothing, to stop doing everything. I never would have thought that was the solution. But for me, that's actually been wonderful. You know, I've been here to make breakfast for the kids every day. And we spent so much time together this summer. And the part of the world where I live is we locked down pretty early. So there's no COVID here. And you can kind of fool yourself into thinking things are pretty normal.
And that's Nova Scotia, correct?
That's Nova Scotia, yeah. Right. Yeah, it's not that I don't want to be sensitive to people that have had a harder time with it, and I know many people have. In some ways, it's just given me so many opportunities to be with my family, and it's, you know, maybe not the most interesting thing if the goal is to be all about work, but you know, I think most people can kind of get behind that and probably understand that feeling, and we've had a really, really nice time actually.
Excellent. Excellent. And yeah. What's a typical day like for you and the family?
Oh, whoa. Well, I'm an early riser. I kind of like get up around 6 or 6:30. That's early for me. I know there's people that get up earlier than that, but I like to get up and move the body a little bit. You know, I've got a little workout routine that I do in the mornings. And I find that if I get up a little earlier than the rest of my family, it kind of gives me a bit of head start. Little bit of momentum going into the day. And so when they come down the stairs, I got the breakfast ready and I'm ready to go, you know. So that's the morning is a very busy time just because for all the obvious reasons, you know.
Sure.
But then it's sort of all the excitement kind of wears off around 8:30 and I get the house back to myself for a few hours and I can get into some music or, you know, lately I've been putting a lot of effort into these videos that we're putting online. So 2 or 3 days a week, we kind of spend making stuff for social media and different for YouTube and things like that. So, yeah, I do miss performing and I miss my band and crew, but I can't say that I'm very bored. You know, I seem to have stuff to do every day and I hope everyone else is as fortunate to just be busy with stuff that's worthy of your time.
Absolutely. And your Instagram feed is so amusing. It keeps me so entertained. You have different themes like Taco Tunes and Fitness Friday. And, you know, my first question is the quality of the videos just seems so high quality and better than your typical Instagram. I mean, do you have a crew?
I do. I don't know how long you've been following my social media career, but up until 6 months ago, I put zero effort into it. There's something about it that just doesn't work for me in terms of engaging with it. And so I kind of figured out a way to hack it. You know, just I said, well, if I can hire someone, and in some ways it keeps me accountable because we work 2 or 3 days a week. And, you know, he films it and he does the editing. And then my manager and the, you know, they kind of figure out the best way to put it out there. And they manage all the messages and all that. So, you know, I don't even have to have it on my phone. I can just I get the fun of making all the stuff. And then I don't have to deal with the rest of it. And frankly, that's just what works well for me. So I've enjoyed it. I mean, it's sort of, I up until recently, I just didn't care about it at all. I like playing. I like touring. I like performing, frankly, and I'm good at it. So I sort of always put a lot of my effort into that, and just found that was enough in terms of connecting with fans and connecting with people. And obviously now I can't do that anymore. So it's nice to be forced to learn a new skill, and it's nice to have another sort of outlet just to be creative and make art and make music and make jokes and just put stuff out there.
This Christmas, give the gift of hunkiness. Hoo-ah! That's right. Your own sad hunk stuffy is ready to ship and change your lives forever. Order my beautiful skin and then follow along with Avi's personalized instructional video to bring me to life.
Absolutely. And I love your kids participating in it. There's one video where you're playing a song and I believe it's your daughter is just like petting your head the whole time. And
you know, we tried to on the first day we set up to do some stuff and they just kept on running into the shot and be like, cut. And we'd start over. And then at some point we just said, you know, there's no way to there's no way to keep them out of it. Like my house is basically our set for 80% of the stuff that we're doing. And there's no real way to, it would be so much work to try and keep them out there. And I don't have enough Paw Patrol in the world to keep them engaged long enough. So it's, in some ways it's kind of nice to just realize that if they run into the shot, just keep rolling. It sounds like you've seen some of the stuff we put out, but in a lot of ways I feel like the videos end up almost more charming and more interesting. When they fail, you know, they're whether it's because they run into the shot or because we're, you know, you hear one of them talking or laughing or screaming or crying in the background or something. It's just pretty human. It's real. So it's nice. That's nice. It's like you could try all day to manufacture those moments and you'll never get it quite as good as just that one where it comes together organically, where you don't have any control at all, you know? So those are always the best moments for sure.
Absolutely. And so now we've covered your kids and your wife comes into the equation. Sad Hunk, my understanding is that she came up with the title for the album. Is that true?
Yeah, basically like when I first started touring, I got offered these magazines and I'd do a photo shoot or something. And they would, you know, bring a stylist or bring a camera person who, you know, has me looking off into the distance, brooding and in shadow and all this stuff. And it always seemed strange to me, at odds with my personality, because I just generally I spend most of my energy trying to make people laugh. And even in my music, I feel like there's a lot of humor and stuff. So
absolutely.
But I always seemed like I was cast as this brooding, you know, mysterious singer-songwriter. And so that when I was reviewing the pictures for this magazine like 10 years ago and my wife walked by and she said, "Oh, Sad Hunk," like kind of making fun of me. And it just became a joke that sort of picked up steam between her and I and our peer group and everything. And, you know, at some point in life, you just get comfortable with who you are. And for me, I'm ready to embrace that, the humor in that. And there's something about the word hunk that I don't know if it's 2020 or whatever, but it's almost like it's right on the line of like rubbing people the wrong way. And, you know, so the word sad in front of it kind of softens the blow. And then if you've seen the album cover, it's just a picture of me smiling in my own clothes. There's not, it's the opposite of all the photos that I had before. It was like, I just want that picture of, you know, that you would get a portrait at you know, at a department store or something like that. I just wanted that, to sort of balance the sad hunk title of the album, you know, with this nice sure. picture. So, but yeah, that's it. That's it.
And when was the album recorded?
We made it in December of last year.
Okay. So it was before the pandemic was on anyone's radar.
It was before, you know, the glory days, ate in restaurants, went on airplanes, went to recording studios with faraway musicians. I mean, it's sort of, I actually made it with the intention of taking most of this year off. It's not like I had to cancel a whole lot. I did have some shows this summer, but I think a lot of my friends have, really unfortunately had to cancel a lot of stuff, you know? So I feel lucky that I kind of was just happened to time the making of the album that way, that I was able to just be off with my family the whole time.
Were you always planning to release it in October, or did that get changed once the pandemic hit?
No, that was the plan. And then we just kind of stuck with that plan. You know, I there's not like a $1 million marketing strategy to putting out my records. It's more like, word of mouth and talking to people like yourself. And it's sort of something that has a slow burn. I'm fortunate to say, like, even my old records, people are still discovering them now. You know, people are still listening to those records in some cases, quite a lot, you know. So I know that this record will come out on Friday, but it's sort of like, it's only the beginning. You know, people seem to sort of discover this stuff on their own time now. And that's worked out very well for me. And I just know that this record will find a home with people for many years to come.
And that's something that I can relate to, because, you know, I will be honest, I was not that familiar with your music, and I heard Trick to Happy, and there was just something about that song that resonated with me deeply. And it's one of my favorite songs of the year. And I had the opportunity to listen to the whole album and really enjoyed it, and have dug into the back catalog now. So could we talk about Trick to Happy as an example? Sure. How did that song come together?
Well, I think even just the line Trick to Happy, I think we all kind of struggle with that idea, this idea that there's a shortcut to being happy, whether it's through money or through, you know, people or through stuff, you know, buying a new guitar or getting some new pair of shoes or something is going to solve all your problems. And we all also at the same time, we know that that's not true. We know that, you know, it's only temporary, that the real happiness, there is no shortcut. You just have to earn it. And in fact, when you reflect back, some of the hardest things in your life are the things you're most proud of. Yep. In the moment, you think, oh my God, how did I get in this position? How am I going to get out of it? What have I done? I'm, you know, poor me, or what? You start blaming other people. And then later you say, man, I'm glad I went through that. That's the trick to being happy, is actually sort of realizing that it is the whole thing. And so, yeah, I think as modern life kind of becomes more, you know, demands us more to live like in this immediate way. I need to talk to you right now. And so I'm going to send you a message on, you know, iMessage and Slack and email. And like what I need is right now. And I think there's so much of life that is like that. And so it is nice to slow down a little bit and just remember that, the things that are hard, the things that are worth putting effort into, those are the ones that kind of like, you know, there's no real compromises at the end of the day. You kind of like do those things and you feel good about them. And for me, that's music, you know. It's I don't know, that's all I've ever done. That's all I've ever really done is played music. So it's the times where it's challenging, I'm realizing those are the times when I kind of like want to dig in the most, because it's just the most rewarding thing.
I felt guilty there for a spell, but now I need to know. Am I wasting my time? Ooh. Is there some trick to being happy? Most days I'm feeling like a half me, and feel that life is moving past me. I only told you 'cause you asked me.
And who were some of the contributors to Sad Honk?
This guy Don Kerr played drums. He's sort of, I jokingly call him the oldest drummer in Canada. He's played with so many artists, like great artists, and he's got a recording studio, and he's just an amazing producer in his own right. His name's Don Kerr, and so he's played on some of my other albums, and just I really just enjoy playing with him so much. But and then the guy who played bass guitar is this guy Michael Bryan, who I went to high school with. We played music together for centuries. Yeah, there's something about playing music with him that's like, it's like, I mean, he's literally like one of my oldest friends. So there's a sort of comfort and a familiarity there where, you know, he's not holding anything back. He'll just play anything. And if I don't like it, he doesn't take it personal. It's the same way when you're talking with an old friend, your oldest friends are the ones that kind of, you know, they just make fun of you. They just make jokes about you because you know each other so well, and you know that the intention is never malicious. And anyway, perhaps that's not a good analogy, but anyway, the point is that his playing is just so free. He's not thinking like, oh, Afy would want me to play this. He's just playing, you know? Right. And so that's really refreshing. And then the guitar player is Christine Bougie, who's played on a number of my albums and toured with me a bunch. And she's just an incredible musician, in her own right too. And the other guitar player is this guy, Sam Weber, who's probably 25. He lives in Los Angeles. He's Canadian. And I discovered him on YouTube, and I just thought, man, this guy can play the heck out of the guitar. And so he flew in, and you know, I would show the band the songs. And then at some point, I would just put the guitar down because what they were doing was just so interesting that it was nicer for me to just kind of get out of the way. So yeah, there was really some really interesting guitar playing on this record. And just with people who are so much better than I am that can really elevate those parts to another level.
I thought it was interesting that you came across Sam on YouTube. Was it his own video or
what? His own music. And in fact, he was playing bass. Bass in the video, but just the way he played the bass, I could tell he was a guitar player. Like he's played so melodically, kind of like Paul McCartney or Ron Wood or something, just like has a real melodic voice to his playing. And then so I checked out some of his tunes. He's got his own albums and stuff, and it's just really, really good. So he came out and opened up a bunch of shows for me a few years ago, and we kind of became friends. And it just sort of seemed like a logical step in some ways. I mean, he's involved in a lot of really cool projects in Los Angeles. As you know, there's just like so much good music happening down there. So he's sort of deeply entrenched with all the heaviest cats, and it was a thrill to play with him for sure.
Excellent. And what does the future hold? I know it's such an uncertain time, but once this album comes out and you get the chats with guys like me done, what's next for you? Do you have anything?
I mean, first and foremost, it's fishing season here in Nova Scotia. I got another couple of weeks of salmon fishing, so that's try and get a few days of that in. That's one of my passions. But beyond that, I'm producing this sort of like series of musical performances right now with different musicians all around the world, and we've done a number of them now, and it's they're turning out really cool. So they'll start to roll out over the next while. But I haven't really done much music like on social media or
live streams. Online.
Yeah. I watched a couple of, you know, people that I admire, And I just found that even within like 2 minutes, I wasn't very engaged. I wasn't very connected to what they were doing. Sure. And I felt guilty because in some cases, isn't, you know, some of my favorite artists. And I thought, there's something in the technology that's sort of limiting that emotional connection. And I just want to take a minute to figure that out, because I love performing and I love playing, and I just don't want to take something that I do well and put out a shitty version of it. So yeah, we've been doing this series, and it's going to be really high quality and high fidelity, and just trying to create more of a real experience for people, you know, I'm excited to put those out over the next little while.
Excellent. Well, I thank you very much for your time. Again, the album is Sad Honk. It's by Brushfire Records. If you want to take my advice, start with Trick to Happy as your gateway drug into the music of Bahamas, and perhaps you'll dive deep like I did. Thanks again for your time.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks for your interest.
The end of episode 72 of the Jam Bass podcast. Here's wishing a happy Thanksgiving from our family to yours. Thanks to Afy of Bahamas for taking the time to chat with us. Sad Honk is out now via Brushfire Records. We also want to thank Jake Alexander for producing this episode and providing the theme song from his Clanging and Banging project. And of course, thanks to you, our loyal listeners. The Jam Bass podcast, a partner of Osiris Media, can be heard on all major podcast providers, including Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. Please be safe out there, and we'll be back in December with a new episode.